Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I was just wondering if you felt compelled to go talk to Wayne Talapapa, because the tragedy at Virginia, those are all former teammates and former running backs, some of them, and he was tweeting, it looked like, at 2 in the morning about it. I just wonder if you'll reach out to him on that.
Yeah, Wayne has already been up to the offices today, and we all collectively put our arms around him, and he's hurting. He's hurting. He knew those kids well, and it's a tough time for him right now, but he's hanging in there, and he's got a lot of strength to give, and I know he'll get back to those families.
When you look back at that tape, just what allowed Penix to just have so much success in the second half? Because it really seemed like halftime seemed to click, the third quarter floodgates opened up. Just what maybe changed at halftime?
I don't know if anything changed. I think obviously it always starts with the O-line doing a great job protecting. And they've done an awesome job of that all year. And keeping Mike clean, that he can stay confident in his reads. And we changed up a couple small things, but nothing earth-shattering. Some checks that we knew we were going to have to make. And I just thought he did a good job of getting through all the progressions and making the reads he had to.
There have been some questions prior to that game about J-Mac dropping a couple balls this season in big spots. What can you say about the game he had, and also obviously the sort of 50-50 ball that he wrestled away?
Yeah, J-Mac, one of the things I love about him is after the fact and in the moment, he's doing a great job of owning it. And so I know in some of the plays that maybe he hadn't made, drops he had, I mean, he was the first one to say, I got to make those catches, coach. Like, you got to be able to count on me in those moments. And honestly, I never thought about averting the football away from him because I've seen him make those kind of catches from spring ball till now. And so we've got a ton of trust, and obviously so does Mike. He just kind of tried to frame him with the ball and let J-Mac go up and make a play. And honestly, the kid made a tremendous play. The ball was a little bit high, came up over the top of J-Mac. And we showed that play quite a few times in the offensive meeting yesterday and just talked about the competitive stamina it takes to when you're in the middle of that, and how J-Mac never quit on the ball. Some guys would feel somebody come over the top, initially make the catch, and just kind of crumble under the weight of the defender. And J-Mac, literally fought to the last second, took the ball away. It was a phenomenal play, and that was something that, I thought really sparked us, that no matter who it was, somebody was going to be able to make a play.
Every coin toss this year that you've won, you've deferred. You guys elected to take the ball. Can you talk about what went into that decision? When was it made, and when you told Michael?
Yeah, Coach DeBoer and Coach Morrell and Coach Hinge and I had talked about that the day before, and we had made that decision that if we won it, we had some confidence in the game plan that we were going to be able to go in there and strike the first blow. And that's something that wasn't anything O or D. It was just more, that was our most aggressive play, and we wanted to show the kids that, we had an attack mentality on that day, and I thought they did a great job of that. I told the guys on Saturday that we'd be taking the ball if we won the toss, and they were fired up. I think it was a good move by Coach DeBoer and got the appropriate response from the kids, and they were ready to compete.
Right, the first half, 14 passes, 14 runs, and then second half kind of more, 21 passes, 8 runs.
Was that a conscious decision to just kind of just get going through the year, or was that really more about what Oregon was giving you guys?
A little bit of both. You know, there was definitely some confidence running the ball. I felt like, with the exception of a couple of short yardage plays, you know, I felt like we could move the ball on the ground for sure. But there were some coverage things where I felt pretty strongly that there were some holes that Mike would be able to recognize. And he's been, you know, highly accurate all year. So felt good about him being able to move, you know, some big plays. And we just didn't want, you know, a drive to stall out. And I thought that's what was really important, was Oregon came out, touchdown, we answer with a touchdown, they get a touchdown, we answer with a touchdown. And at that point on the call sheet, I just had the most confidence in our pass concepts.
The drive that started after the fourth down stop with about, 3 minutes to go, about 46 to go. Looking back, did you maybe want to run a little more clock there at that point in time?
Are you talking about first half or second half?
The fourth down stop when they slipped and you guys took off.
So on the second down play, you know, felt really good about the tempo call there, just to keep it moving, that I didn't want us to, you know, stall out and time to even be an issue. But we were down there close enough where, you know, and honestly, if we break in on a route, we're probably not even talking about it. We moved the sticks, but just had a lot of confidence in the call. And, you know, it would have been nice, obviously, to be able to run the ball on second down, milk some clock there, and then figure out what you want to do on third down. But, you know, it certainly was in the back of my mind, but wanted to stay aggressive and try to win the game.
Obviously seen Michael make a number of pretty impressive throws this year, but the touchdown to Taj to get it there in front of the safety, is that a rare throw for a college quarterback to be able to make? Kind of, what's the degree of difficulty on that one?
Yeah, that's the best throw I've seen Mike make in a game. You know, I've seen him make a lot of crazy throws at practice too, but just his recognition of the coverage scheme was phenomenal, and just his ability to get the ball out on time, throw the right type of ball. And I think, you know, the arm talent piece is a big part, but I think the two pieces that are even more impressive to me is, you know, Mike chopping his footwork down to be on time to get the ball there, and it being as accurate as it was. I mean, you saw how tight, number one, the window was to get the ball in there to Taj, and then at the same time, it being so accurate that Taj doesn't just fall out of bounds, you know. And you see the same thing on, you know, JP's touchdown. That was a great throw as well, with, you know, Justin Flo kind of bearing down on him a little bit. And, you know, JP doesn't even have to break stride. And so those are two touchdown plays that, because of the accuracy of the throw, you know, resulted in a explosive touchdown.
What's the reaction in the coach's box when, I mean, you just said it's the best throw he's made all year. What's the reaction in the box when you see something?
That one was, yeah, we were pretty fired up after that one. That one, there was a lot of fist pumping going on and banging on the window and whatnot. But it was that was just pure joy, excitement, you know. And showed the guys yesterday that, you know, prior to that play, there's a kind of a win indicator on ESPN on their website, and you can kind of go along on the timeline. And when Mike completed the ball to CD, I think for a 3-yard gain on the right on a play action pass, at that point, Oregon had a 92.5% chance to win the football game. And I showed the guys that yesterday, not in a sense like, oh, wow, look, what, you know, this is what we did, but more so that was not what the feeling on the sideline was. I would have said it was flipped, you know, that they knew we were going to win, and just their confidence in themselves and the ability to make a play in that moment. I just think it keeps growing. And you look back to the Oregon State game, same thing. You know, they got the ball, tough conditions, and they felt really confident they were going to go down there and execute. So I just thought that was, you know, phenomenal play, and kids executing, being on time. It was a lot of fun.
I think Taj played like 8 snaps, and that was his only target. What is it about that situation that had him on the field in that spot?
You know, it was just his time to be in. Honestly, that was one of the things where, you know, Taj is really the alert throw. And so it has to be a pretty specific coverage for Taj to get the football on that. And it was one of the things I pointed out to the offense, was that had Taj just kind of jogged or run his route, because 9 times out of 10, he's not getting that ball. He's the release to hold the edge, and that's not how he ran the route. He ran the route like he was getting the ball, and that's what made the difference. You know, he was on time with a lot of tempo coming out of the, you know, off the ball, and he was ready for it, you know, and so the spotlight hit him, and he was ready to go. So I thought that was – it wasn't necessarily a game plan thing. You know, him or JP could have been out there. It was just Taj's time to be there, but, you know, it was awesome to see him make that play.
Ryan, on that first field goal – Henry went in motion. Was that what he did? And you got a second chance to go for it if you wanted to on fourth and one. What would happen with Henry? And did you think about getting, you know, you got a reprieve on that play again? Two fourth and one opportunities?
Yep, we had a chance to think about it. And you know, we chose to take the points and stay with it. You know, ultimately that was obviously coach's choice. And as far as the field goal operation, I have no clue. I don't delve into that world, so...
It looked like you moved to maybe put it back a little further for a normal, you know,
extra. Yeah, it wouldn't have hurt. The extra yardage probably didn't hurt him.
Mike threw an interception, and his next throw was a touchdown pass. What was your conversation with him between those two throws?
Well, you know, I think it has more to do with the preparation and the conversation before the game, you know, and one of the big reminders for Mike and in any game, but let alone a big game, is just don't let, you know, one good play or bad play define you, you know, and I think that's one of the most difficult parts of playing quarterback is to actually live by that. You know, a lot of people talk about that, but just to see Mike, you know, be able to come back out and have the courage to get right back on the horse and make the big plays that, you know, his team needed, I think says everything you got to know about Mike. Because I mean, we were on the 1 yard line. Obviously, you can work on just punching the ball in. That's a play we had supreme confidence in, that if they dropped zone, that he would just throw it away. Was unbelievably surprised, honestly, that Mike made a bad decision there, because he is so trustworthy with the football and consistently makes great decisions. So it was surprising to see him do that. That part surprised me, but him getting back out there and being ready to throw a touchdown next time he touched the ball didn't surprise me at all.
What are those conversations like with him?
Yeah. You know, that's a short one, honestly. He got on the phone. I said, you know better than that. You know that's not the throw. You know that's not the play. And we moved on and started talking about the next drive, because with Mike, you don't have to labor obvious points. You know, that's something, there's nobody in that stadium that felt more sick than Mike on that play. And he knew it. You know, he owned it right away, and he was ready to move on. I think that's part of the deal. You know, me sitting there dog cussing him and making an ordeal out of it isn't going to do anything. You got to get him ready for the next series so he can make the next throw.
The offensive line's had a lot of big games this year, particularly in pass protection. Do you feel like this was their best game as a group? And also, Corey Luciano, had talked a little bit about him, and I think you guys submitted him for a Pac-12 lineman of the week. What did he do to kind of stand out in this one?
Yeah, you know, Corey, I think what's really cool for him is, you know, number one, I think in any schematic case, you know, whatever you do offensively, a tough road game, there's nobody that's harder on than the center and the quarterback. And for Corey to come out, you know, is not that Corey's never played here at Washington, but hasn't functioned as a starting center in a game like that. You know, we played tough road games for sure, but the crowd noise can add a whole nother level of complexity to making calls and things like that. And he did a great job with that. I think he missed one call, really, that we saw. And other than that, he played a really, really good football game. And so I think when the quarterback has confidence in his center that he's going to make the right calls and he's going to feel comfortable, I think that takes, you know, a lot of pressure off of Mike. And I think probably one of the things Corey does a great job of is what you don't want is a bunch of actors on the O-line. When they mess up, something's wrong, they need to give accurate feedback to myself and Coach Huff, you know, on the sideline, like, hey, what happened? We're not trying to point fingers, we're just trying to figure it out. And they've done a good job of that all year, and I think Corey owns it when we have to figure it out, and you know, he's able to communicate really well with Mike on the sideline, and I think that's some of the things that are setting those guys apart right now.
What was the plane ride like on the way home?
It was awesome. It was awesome. It was a lot of fun. A lot of guys cheering and laughing and having fun, and those are the things you try to encourage the guys to celebrate that, because, you know, 10 years from now, that's what they'll remember. you know, maybe not necessarily right in each moment, but, you know, where they just get to sit back and really soak it in and enjoy it because they earned it.
How do you come back, get that out of the way?
Yeah.
1-19, you guys are huge favorites. They've lost four in a row. How do you get rid of that buzz and refocus, I guess?
Yeah, that's a great question. Easier said than done, honestly. But we got to try to, you know, trust in our kids. One of the first things we mentioned right away is that that's a unbelievable memory. And right now that's what it has to be. And it's got to stay right there, you know, put it in the past and leave it there for now. You'll be able to celebrate that and enjoy it the rest of your life. But right now, we don't have time for that. You know, you got to move on to CU and shoot. There's some things, obviously, in that football game we could have done a lot better. You know, I felt like at minimum, we left 15 points on the board between, you know, having to kick two field goals and obvious scoring down on the 1 yard line. You know, there's some things offensively we sure could have done better to make that game a lot easier. And that's the special part about these kids. They own that and they're ready to step up and try to fix those things and do even better against Colorado. So I'm expecting a great week of practice and we got to ignore, you know, the opponent and just realize that it's about us and bring out the best version of ourselves. So, like I said, I'm excited to see how much maturity these kids come out with and how they prepare this week because I don't want to put it all on the coaching staff. I don't want us to have to lecture the guys every day. I want them to come out and be excited about practicing.
You guys are number 3 in the country on third down. For the last 2 weeks, it hasn't been the third and short. It's been some remarkable conversions. What do you attribute to your guys' ability to convert on the third and 10 and third and 14 and all those things?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we've done a good job as a staff of, you know, getting the guys coached up on the potential looks that they're going to see. And when we get the looks that we want, you know, Mike knowing where to put the ball. And I think it starts there. And then, you know, obviously guys running good routes and Mike having an option 2 and 3 available to him and the O-line protecting. And they're executing at a high rate and some pretty high pressure situations. And I think it carries over into other parts of the game too. And you see us backed up and we run a sprint out play. You know, I thought that was a phenomenal play. You know, we're backed up and I don't know if there was a louder point in the football game than that. And Mike rolls out to his left and, you know, easily hits Rome for 12 yards and move the sticks and we keep going. So I think there's some pieces to that where those high pressure moments, the guys are kind of used to being in them to some extent and that's helping them execute at a high rate.
Benix had a 15-yard run early in the game where he spun away from two guys, and we hadn't really seen something like that out of him. Has he been under any limitations as far
no.
as trying to scramble like
no,
that?
No, it was about time he did that. That's what I told him on the headphones. I said, it's about time we see those size 14s get to work because he can do that for sure. But it was awesome to see. I thought that was, you know, by far the best play he made with his feet and just the sense that he had of the free player off the backside edge and how to get around him. But no, Mike is a really athletic kid. And at the same time, he's really smart. He knows how to take care of his body and protect himself. But I thought he had a couple of really nice scrambles.
So you were, I didn't ask about special teams, but Dane Henry missed a game winner down there 4 years ago. I'm sure you're aware of that.
Yep.
Does that resonate with you at all when you see a kid bounce back 4 years later and basically do the exact opposite thing at the same stadium?
Oh, man, I mean, I was just excited for him. You know, we knew our job offensively, and, you know, we kind of talked about, you know, Jack Westover catches that first one. And I think there's so many details in that play leading up to Peyton making that kick, you know, our guys being in tune that we need every single yard. You know, Mike throws a really accurate ball to the front side tip of Jack Westover and he's able to surge upfield and get 4 to 5 more yards. And you need every one of those yards to get there. So I just thought that was, you know, really cool moment for him as a kicker and, you know, 2 weeks in a row, honestly. I realized the Oregon State one wasn't a deep kick or anything, but it's windy and it's a pressure-placed moment and he did an awesome job.
Game planning for Oregon, what were the areas that you thought you could attack? And is there a player or two that really highlighted the offensive game plan for that worked?
Yeah, I thought there was a couple specific coverage looks that we could go after. I thought the touchdown for JP, we were looking for a specific coverage there. And once I saw that, I knew we could get to that play. And there's always those are always built into the game plan every week. We felt like there were some balls that we could get down the field on them at times. And I felt like we could move them up front. I felt like there was going to be some seams where if we got people moving and off their point a little bit on the box count, that we'd be able to make them pay a little bit. And that first touchdown showed up that way when we got man coverage on an open set run, and Wayne made them pay on that one.
You guys' running backs were pretty settled with Talapapa and Davis, a little bit of Sam Adams, but those two guys, have you kind of settled on those guys, be the ones you have confidence in at this point?
Yeah, those three, and I'd say Rich still. You know, Rich got in there a few plays as well, but CD and Wayne have definitely been the workhorses, and, you know, I think that their preparation is as good as anybody on the team, and especially Wayne. I mean, he's so dialed. We gave him the details award this week, not for what just he does on offense, but even in special teams, he's a four-phase guy that knows everything, every part of every play he's supposed to be in on. And so it's just good seeing a guy like that execute at a high level.
What happened to Will Nixon?
He got a little bit dinged, and he was kind of coming back, and sometimes those things happen where a guy kind of falls behind. You know, when you're trying to jump in and get those number three reps, you know, it doesn't take much to throw another guy off that's kind of even with him. And so then you saw a little bit more Sam Adams in Will's role this last week.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Morning.
Could you update us on Jordan Perryman? And I don't think Devon Banks made the trip either.
Jordan's day-to-day. Devon's out for the season.
Obviously, missed tackles were a struggle in that game, and Oregon's, you know, created those problems for a lot of people. But what do you attribute that to?
I mean, they just got some elite guys back there. I mean, those guys are definitely slippery. They're a handful. We knew it was going to be a challenge for us going into the game. And what we really ask our guys to do is just constantly be relentless. You know, if it's not the first guy getting them on the ground, if it's not the second guy getting them on the ground, just got to have elite pursuit to the football. And, you know, I thought our guys did a great job of that throughout the course of the game. You look down the stretch in the fourth quarter, and, man, our guys are still, I mean, they're ripping, they're running the ball, they're playing as hard as they can play. And you know, they did a great job of the, you know, the third and fourth guy. I sometimes had to put them on the ground. And so, you know, proud of our guys in terms of their resilience, even though we did have some missed tackles.
Alex has hit on Bo Nix on third down. Just talk about kind of what you saw.
Yeah, critical. I mean, I think, you know, our game plan going in is, you know, Nix had barely been touched the whole season. I mean, nobody's, you know, hardly breathed on him. And so really our focal point throughout the course of the game, you know, in some of their read game and some of their other things, is we had to put some hits on him. And I think, you know, we were able to send a message early. You know, we got to him a couple times early on, even though he dumped the ball off or got an incomplete pass out of it. You know, guys were able to get to him a little bit. And then, you know, obviously at the end of the game, and, you know, just a setup for us where we have our, you know, our post player spying the quarterback, and everybody was wired in on the play. And, you know, you got a veteran savvy guy in Alex Cook, and, you know, just saw the gap open up and did his job, and just no hesitation. You know, I mean, he took a heck of a run through at a critical time for us.
That fourth down play with Oregon. First of all, were you surprised that they went for it on that?
I guess not really. They've done that all season. So they've been in backed up situations throughout the course of the season where, you know, as you go through the film study, it's fourth and one. They're on their own 25-yard line, and they go for it. And they do that on a regular basis. Now, I don't, you know, in terms of their game mechanics and why they do that, but it wasn't a surprise to us.
Eddie pinched in, and
yeah, just in our gapped out, you know, basically in a goal line call for us, and you know, Eddie's bearing down. So where that guy slips, falls in between, he wasn't going anywhere on that play, and guys just did a great job. And actually, you know, I look at a couple of fourth downs earlier in the game. We had the fourth and super short early in the game, and they barely got the first down. And then, you know, even on the one before the half, they barely got the first down. That's one thing I think our guys take a lot of pride in is fourth down. We've been in this new age of analytics. We're in a lot of fourth down scenarios, and, you know, our guys take a lot of pride. We've had several fourth and short stops throughout the course of the season.
Has there been any thought to put Dom Hamilton outside with all the injuries mounting up?
You know, he's always, I mean, the great thing about Dom, he's always he's a good athlete and he can do multiple things, but we had a very specific role for him last week. It was critical just to have him where he was at, and you know, he does a great job for us there, so.
Can you maybe take us through the last defensive series with Oregon getting the ball and just kind of what was going on there and just what you were trying to do?
The very last drive?
Yeah.
Just, you know, dime package, you know, keep stuff in front of us. We knew they had a lot of field to travel there at the end. We did a great job initially getting them into fourth and long. We got a finish. We got out of our zone a little bit on the fourth and 15. But, you know, the guys didn't blink at all. You know, I think those are situations that we've repeated so many times in practice, whether it's the victory play at the last play of the game or those things. We simulate those things every single week against our offense. I think Coach DeBoer does a great job of making sure, you know, all the boxes are checked every week. And so it wasn't an unusual situation for us to be in. We've literally repped that, you know, dozens and dozens of times throughout the course of the season.
And when their player went down with an injury with second to go?
No comment. I don't think I could say anything on that. I'll give you my true feelings on it someday.
How would you assess Eddie? I think he gave maybe 15 plays. He had 6 tackles.
Yeah, I thought Eddie was fantastic. I mean, I think, you know, down the stretch of the game, you know, you let your guys roll. And, you know, he was a super physical presence on that, you know, as a part of that long drive. And then their second to last drive, you know, and it's just great to have him back in there. He's such a savvy veteran player, and he's very skillful. Did a great job of shedding blocks, getting off the blocks, being at the point of attack, driving the defense. And, you know, it's even more exciting as we can, you know, slowly let his rep volume come up as he gets fully back. And, you know, was outstanding. And I think you just lean on that. I mean, you got critical leadership, veteran guys that are making big plays when it counts the most.
Kim asked you about the guy falling down. I don't want to push that, but is that something that you guys talked to the conference about?
I'll leave that for Coach DeBoer. Okay.
Above your pay grade.
Above my pay grade. I'll leave that one to him.
We've seen some more of Chris Moll recent weeks. He's been kind of coming on as the season's gone up.
Yeah, I love Chris right now. I just think Chris has made just a phenomenal jump here. You know, I think he struggled early in the season. And really about the midpoint of the season, I think, you know, we really challenged him as a veteran football player. You know, obviously he's new to our program, but he's a veteran football player. And, man, there was just a light bulb that went on with him. And I'm so proud of him because I think you're in your last year playing college football, and you know, early on in the season things hadn't quite gone his way, and just the resolve that he had and the determination that he had, and you know, he shows up on film a lot for us right now, and he's in the right position. He's a very high IQ football player, and he's using his athleticism to put him on plays.
What do you feel like that light coming on moment was for Chris?
You know, I think it was, you know, really it was kind of around the Arizona game time frame where just, you know, he is very intelligent, and I think just having the confidence to go be the guy and be an elite communicator. And we brought him in and challenged him with those things, and he really owned it, and since that point he's never looked back.
When Ty Thompson came in, you know, can you tell me a little bit about how things changed in your mind? Did you feel pretty confident that he was going to be handing the ball off?
Yeah, well, he's dangerous with his feet, too. You know, some of the guy that we're very in tune with and aware of, and I think at that point they're trying to do a little bit of managing the clock and making sure, you know, you don't want to put a lot of pressure. Typically, guys are going to want to put a lot of pressure on a quarterback just fresh off the sideline, but, you know, we were really in tune with the quarterback run game at that point just because we know he can be dangerous with his feet, and you know, I thought our guys did a great job of getting us four and out in that series.
Latulo Augustinoa seems to, you know, he starts, he plays, but he only plays in stretches. Is he being a warrior right now? Is he kind of beat up a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, anybody plays D tackle and you're in the, you know, 10th game of the season's beat up. And yeah, we got to manage him a little bit. But, you know, I thought he was critical for us. There's a couple of key plays later in the game where we were able to get him back out there. And you know, we are managing him a little bit right now. But again, another veteran guy that just is a force on the interior. And every time he's in there, he's setting the front and making plays.
He looked really spent walking off the field.
Yeah, they were all spent, coaches included.
Can I get a comment on Colorado's offense, just kind of what you see out
there? Sure. Well, I mean, they've been through, you know, a lot of situations throughout the course of the year. I think, obviously, they're, you know, quarterback. It's been an evolving situation for them. I think the one thing they do is they do a great job schematically. They put their kids, they're going to challenge you schematically, and they're going to definitely be in attack mode all the time. And you know, a lot of moving pieces. You know, they give you a lot of different pictures that you got to line up and defend, and their coaches are doing a great job getting those guys ready to play every week despite the circumstances that they're in.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right. Good morning. I just first want to start off and just make sure, you know, the University of Virginia football program knows that our thoughts and prayers are with them. And, you know, we are always about, you know, the competition and the battles that happen on Saturdays, but there's a brotherhood I think that it I know exists across college football, and you know, we're thinking about them, and you know, praying for strength and that they can get through this. And you know, we have Wayne Talapapa on our football team, who's very close to that team, and you know, he's working through an emotional time too right now. So just wanted to make sure I started with that, because it's a hard time they're going through. So in regards to just where we're at, what an awesome moment for our guys. You know, I just really feel so strong that we deserve this experience. They've been through a lot, not just this year, but years past. And, you know, there's all these little storylines, whether it's Peyton, you know, kicking the game winner, which is now 2 weeks in a row for him. But just, you know, how much this game means to everyone, including, you know, the Husky Nation and the rivalry that exists there. But, man, what an awesome night. And it's something that, you know, the memories and, you know, no one can take that away from our guys. And, you know, there comes a point where we got to move on. And we talked about that a lot yesterday, but we certainly celebrated, you know, and went through some of the big moments and the highlights. And, you know, they're all learning moments as well, because that game was back and forth like many we've been in. And I think that's why we were ready for the moment.
moment is we've been through a lot, and we've taken each of those situations, whether it be the adversity that we face and how we've responded, or the ways we've found a way to win, whether we had a lead and things were closing, or whether we came from behind and won. We've used all those great moments. And so it's a culmination of a lot of things, but awesome experience for our guys. Super proud of them. Questions.
Behind the decision to wear all purples down there?
Felt like yellow was a lighter color, right? And so just from our end, the contrast, I felt like that was appropriate. You know, I feel, especially from a quarterback vantage point, you need to see and feel the different colors, because it's not only what you see in front of you, it's the peripheral vision. And, you know, it worked out well where we could wear our home purples, you know, on the road, so.
You guys didn't have any fourth down attempts yesterday, and you had the fewest amount of third down attempts. Was a lot of that predicated on getting so much success on first and second down?
Yeah, it was. I think some of our third downs on that first drive were huge. They were the longer ones I think we had, and some great conversions there. The guys did a good job. On first and second down, the efficiency was good. There was less plays being run also in the first half, which lends itself to less third down opportunities. Couple of them, that were probably the easier ones we'd like to, you know, have executed and found a way to convert. But, the fourth down moments that came just felt right to take the points and get the field goals at those times.
Caleb, Brian said the 62-yard play to Taj was the best throw he's ever seen Mike make. I think he said this year.
Mm-hmm.
You've been with him for a long time. Where does that throw go?
Well, I think you take the timing and of the moment, and you add that to the throw itself, the read, and just the culmination of everything. I would have to agree. You know, I'd have to say that was the biggest and best throw. I've seen him make. He's made a lot of them, but that was a perfect moment, perfect time to deliver. That's for sure.
Could you talk about Devon?
You're going to have a couple guys making decisions, as always, on the draft. Penix is one of them. Rome's probably another. Yep. Have you started to have those conversations, or is that something you just kind of wait until after the season?
I think there's certainly conversations that position coaches, myself, are just having as the season's gone on. We're trying to help them out. We're just trying to educate them, and we're doing some things this week as well with not just some of those guys, but our program in general. And we try to do that. We'll try to do that continually on a year-round basis. Kind of have different moments throughout the year where we're educating the masses, and then kind of narrowing it down just to help them with the scope of what's going on. And so it's not something I think it's too late if you wait till after the season's completely over, because people are going to be all over these guys to try to figure out what they're doing. So we're certainly having low level conversations with them and trying to help them find answers if they have questions.
Caleb, Chuck was asked about the apparent injury from nowhere to Chris Hudson on the second to last play of the game, where they got a player literally telling him to hit the deck. Yeah. He falls down. What did you see, and what was your perspective on it?
That's what we see too, and it's just one of those things, like, what can you do? The officials have to acknowledge, and I don't want to be insensitive, and if there's an injury, that's part of the game. Those things happen. So I know those things are always looked at from a league level, and it's part of college football that we get in our discussions in the off season. But the officials have to acknowledge and honor that that it's an injury, and that's as a coach, that's the way I have to too. Just the timing of it is hard, because the clock would have started, and it is what it is. Unfortunately, we're on the right end of it here. We're talking here today with a victory, so do hope he's okay.
Do you contact the league office about that?
I think they're certainly well aware. Those are things that, from an official standpoint and everything, that those discussions certainly happened in the reviewing of each and every game.
Devon Banks out for the season, could you give us a little detail? Did he get hurt in a game, practice, or did he have surgery? What happened to him?
Yeah, Devon, it happened in a game a few weeks ago, and he'll have surgery this week. So it's not something that just happened once. It's been reoccurring throughout the year, you know, and I just go back to, we've had many guys that when we talk, probably when the season's over, and some of the crazy things that have happened, in games or the injuries guys have played through, just put themselves out there for this football team each and every week. And Devon would be one of those guys. Julius Irvin would be another, who I know last week we discussed is out for the year. There's been some times when we just needed those guys on the football field, and not that it was a risk, but they were, in a spot where they, they wanted to do whatever they could to help. And, just comes a point where you can't handle anymore.
Three DBs now out for the season. That's a pretty big hit to your position area.
Yeah, and then it's a position group that obviously early in the year was short to begin with. So I'm proud of those guys, the way they fight. I'm proud of the way they all stick together. There's been times when, they've just, it's gut check, every practice and every game. And, Devon certainly will recover and be stronger because of it.
The explanation on the injury stoppage, that there was no runoff because the clock stopped for the first down.
Correct. Yeah. Yep.
On Tony's post-game show, you mentioned that there was a story behind Peyton kicking that first field goal. Can you tell us a little bit
about that? I know he was asking about Dylan being out there, and we've used Dylan a few different times, and just wrinkles that we have in our program that we work on, and just, probably wasn't quite at that point, the moment we decided to take the points, but, we used Dylan a couple different times against Oregon State and earlier in the year too, just intentionally, sometimes it just takes the heat off the rush, and sometimes it's just things that you're, getting ready to do with your program, whether it's this game or other games down the road, keeping people on edge for sure is a part of those tactics.
With Laniata Alexander fielding the onside kick, obviously Oregon stole possession against UCLA doing that. I'm sure you guys were prepared for that.
Yeah.
What did you see? What was the preparation going with?
Yeah, they came out with some jersey numbers in different spots for that kickoff, and it alerted our coaching staff, and even just the timing of it kind of was like I flipped over to both sides and just had a heads up, and it's something we would do anyway, just given the kick, the onside kick they had, as you said, against UCLA. But there were some indicators that something fishy was up, and we needed to be ready.
You have a chance to get Jordan Perryman back this week?
Yeah, I would say he's day to day, and we'd hope. I don't anticipate him maybe practicing early in the week, but as the week goes on, my hopes were that he'd be out there playing on Saturday.
It's one thing to have familiarity with an offense like Penix had, but not having work with Grubb. That 62-yarder to Taj, is that just the epitome of kind of what Mike is and what he can do?
Yeah, and it's those two working together. They'd seen that coverage at on maybe one clip. And I know the clip that they refer to when they talk about that read. Mike recognized it. Earlier in this game, we had thrown the ball to Rome. On the same play, and got a different coverage, and on that call, they went to the look where Taj has to be ready, and Mike delivered, and as Coach Grubb said, Mike's preparedness for that moment, and just not even thinking twice, just trusting what he sees, using his preparation, his experience, and then Taj just running hard, even when that ball probably isn't going to go to him, him running a good hard crisp clean route.
You guys have struggled at times with kickoffs and kickoff coverage, and that kind of bit you at times against Oregon. So what do you need to do in that area to improve some of those things?
Yeah, there was is what it comes down to a lot of times is just one guy, couple simple things with one guy here, one guy there. And as we've in some ways gotten healthier. We've changed some of the personnel on those kickoff coverage units, on the kickoff coverage unit, and a guy might move to a different spot. And, you know, as much as you really feel like you got it ingrained in your schemes that we've run for now 10 games, and, you know, there's a little adjustments here and there, but, you know, it just takes one guy to not recognize something or not execute properly. And, you know, a minimal return can turn into something, you know, where they're getting the ball in the 35-40. So kick locations are always key. I mean, we'd love to have it out the end zone, but the one way it was seemed like, even though there wasn't much of a wind, it was hard to get it out. Kick locations are always where it starts. And we just got to always, you know, try to be better with where we're trying to spot the ball, because, you know, we don't want to give the least amount of options and areas for that ball to go. There's schemes that are around where we want him to. Grady continues to work. He's done a great job all year. And, you know, between Grady and the unit, you know, there's certainly things that we just needed to clean up.
Coach Rump talked about it a little bit, but can you talk about, you know, did Coach Grubb and Mike lobby to take the ball first on the opening kickoff? And what was the turning point where you go, yeah, we're taking the ball?
Yeah, I don't say Mike lobbied. I think it was from more of the coaching side of it. You know, earlier in the week, it kind of was brought up and, you know, to think about. And we've done that a few times throughout the years where, you know, you just, especially when you're on the road, you think about taking the ball. I'm so big on how you have that momentum going into halftime and how you come out. And especially when you have an experienced team, but we were also facing a team that plays so well and just jumps on top of people. So it just felt right for us to, you know, take the ball. We've had a lot of success, you know, in our first drives of the game. I felt like we were pretty locked in. And, you know, between Coach Grubb, Coach Inge, and Coach Morrell, you know, we all agreed that that was a great way to start out the game.
Last home game Saturday, Coach Bass. Yeah. You mentioned these guys going through a lot, three different coaches, coordinators, assistants. Any thoughts on the seniors going out?
Yeah. Yeah, we have we'll have 13 guys that we'll be recognizing on Saturday, and 11 scholarship guys. For the most part, the scholarship guys are all the guys that have zero eligibility left. There'll be a couple walk-ons that that, you know, have been here for five years or have no eligibility. So, man, what they've given to this program is so much, you know, and they're all got their individual stories. You got Jackson's story, and you got AC, and, you know, just they've done so much. They've accomplished a lot. And then they've also gotten through COVID and, you know, a 4-8 season. And here we are, you know, 8-2. And, you know, it starts with these guys. It starts with their resiliency, their attitude, and just how passionate they are about Husky football. So, you know, I've leaned on them so much over the last really almost 12 months now, you know, to give me guidance when I have questions about, you know, how things have been done in the past, or how we're doing, you know, with our attitude and you know, the little things, areas I can clean up for the team that maybe are, you know, not right where we want them in sync. And so they've been open, honest. They've been great. You know, the whole team, I think, being open to our staff coming in starts with these seniors in particular. Brennan Holmes is done with his eligibility. He has zero. So, and then Gage Hardy.
How important has that experience been on the offensive line, where you mentioned Kirkland, but also, like, you know, Henry Mainavalu wasn't sure if he was going to keep playing football, yeah. I think. And then Luciano was a transfer. He didn't start for a couple of years. Just the combination of those guys, how big has that been for you?
For the offensive line?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been, I mean, Mike's been protected, and he does a great job of making the checks. And, you know, Saturday night was exactly that. I mean, the clock's ticking down, and there was many times with 6 and 7 seconds left, Mike's making one more step towards the line of scrimmage, and it's loud. You know, he's just making sure and solidifying. It's hard to hear. Maybe one false start, The entire game in the first drive. But, you know, just that connection and that belief and trust that we have in Mike starts with those guys up front, because they're protecting him and they've paved the way. And like you said, they all got their own stories and how they've come together. And it's beyond even just those five and those seniors you're talking about in particular. Corey, though, man, his energy and his passion, he was voted to the Unity Council right away. And he's just, I mean, you know, not being here the entire time in his career, but he's a Husky. You know, he's a Husky through and through. And Henry coming back, you know, caught me by surprise a little bit there in the early months, and I think it was in January. And then, of course, Jackson, you know, that one's been well documented. And, man, super, super happy for him, you know, getting that win even this weekend closer to home.
In basketball, when guys have their last home game, the basketball coaches, it's not uncommon for them to start guys who don't have any eligibility left or to get them in the game. Are you going to try to do a little bit of that this week, get some guys in that haven't seen the field much?
Yeah, that's always the goal, I think, on a senior day is try to find those moments. We do a lot of personnel, and, you know, maybe there's a way to work guys in. But, you know, first and foremost, these guys would care most about making sure on their senior day that they win the football game. And so whatever role that they've played, I think, in the program up until this point is, I think, where they understand it would be going in. But, you know, we're certainly aware of you know, any opportunity that we could have to get those guys in there, make an impact.
Speaking of the game, though, on Saturday, you're coming off this big game win against Oregon. How do you get the guys up for, you know, a Colorado team that's been struggling to change their coach in the middle of the season? And then,
yep,
obviously their season hasn't gone the way they would go.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's always the concern, right? I mean, no matter who you are, big game, and then everything you just explained as far as what Colorado's been through, I think you just don't have to look any further than what we've done this season. And at the beginning of the year, we said we can beat everyone on our schedule. And probably, honestly, there's not such a gap. I think we're becoming a pretty complete team. And each and every week, we're closing that gap on what our potential is. But, you know, we said all along, you know, everyone can beat us too, you know. And a few weeks back, you know, we went on a 2-game losing streak, and we're going to learn from those games just like we have the wins as well. And so, you know, we got to be ready. We got a lot riding on the season just as far as the opportunities that could present themselves. And so before we even think about the last week of the season, we got to make sure we're focused on Colorado.
What were the biggest lessons, you think, from that UCLA Arizona State trip?
I think the lessons as far as who we were as a team is that we will keep coming at you. We will keep playing. And that belief, whether it's offense and defense and just in each other, that's the part that I think has helped us in these games, like especially Oregon State, Oregon, a little bit in Arizona. It's so crazy. I keep thinking back to, like, how did this happen in those two games? We quickly forget, and we know internally what we were going through. Really, we're the only ones that know what we were going through, probably more so with injuries at that time, and just how thin we were and how hard it was to put some guys on the football field to practice at times. You know, we just... One of those things I know you focus on for next year is just making sure we never are that vulnerable to where, you know, some of those things happen, like that happened earlier in the year. But those are the lessons that we've learned and that we have applied, I think, in the last four games that we've won, and that we'll continue to apply to this weekend.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.